Hey there, are you sitting down? Good, because Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here and you can shop it right from your couch. It's Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale and it's on now. Right now, you can score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Snag outdoor furniture and decor at up to 60% off. Get area rugs for every room at up to 80% off. And refresh your sleep space with up to 60% off bedroom furniture. Plus, score amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals. And get it all with fast and free shipping on everything. Yep, even the big stuff. Right to your door. These are Wayfair's lowest prices of the summer. And did we mention they only last 5 days? So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off Wayfair's biggest sale of the season before it fizzles out. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale now through July 28th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home, plus fast and free shipping site-wide. Shop now through July 28th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring author, psychologist, and daily contributor, Siobhan Scott.
Well, the jury got a chance to hear some of Karen Reed in action the night of John O'Keefe's murder, and it really wasn't a very pretty scene. Just snippets of voicemails, but truly an angry night. But an angry voicemail does not necessarily make one a murderer either. We'll take a listen to those in just a moment. Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, joining us to discuss. So we're another week into this, and we've seen and heard a lot more from Karen. What have been your general reactions to this last week of court?
Just generally, my thought is that this was a relationship that was not thriving. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of difficulties that they were having, and it sounded like nothing unusual in any way from what you see many couples mm-hmm. going through when they're in the process of ending a relationship. It just looked like it was not going well.
Very much so. Let's take a listen to some of those voicemails and we'll talk on the other side.
John, I'm the youngest fucking kid. Nobody knows what the fuck you want, fucking pervert.
With regard to the fifth message, what time was that received by Mr. O'Keefe's phone?
1:11 a.m. Excuse me.
And Ms. Gilman, if you could.
Yes, 1 in the morning. I'm with your fucking niece and nephew. You fucking pervert! You're a fucking pervert!
So essentially, Karen is thinking, according to the voicemails, that John's out sleeping with someone else when in reality he's lying and dying in a snowbank where he got out of her vehicle that night. It doesn't really bode to the idea that she had any sort of consciousness of where he actually was.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. This is not someone who had just committed a murder. And, you know, obviously she thought he was still alive. She thought she was communicating something that he was going to hear. And clearly she was upset, intoxicated. It all, you know, again, it doesn't look like she killed him.
Now, we've seen cases before where someone is making those phone calls after they know the individual is deceased. Are there tells in those sort of calls versus this one that make you go, okay, this seems a little staged?
For me, the difference would be the intensity of the anger and the number of calls and the number of texts. I think I read that there were 53 texts sent to him. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is just somebody who was really emotional and out of control, but I don't think it was role-playing. I don't think she was just trying to cover her tracks.
Yeah, it didn't feel... That's an interesting thing with this whole case. It felt like the witnesses on the stand, even the bad ones, even the ones that were... Or I shouldn't say bad ones, but bad acts. Proctor, for example, where yeah. It felt like maybe he was tipping the scales a little bit. Nobody really felt like they were necessarily lying to me. They mm-hmm. feels like they got caught in some bad acts a little bit here and there. Mm-hmm. But nobody came across as we're purposely trying to, hide a murder, if you will.
Yeah. 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 It just doesn't all add up for the Commonwealth's case. And I don't think that this voicemail or the text evidence, you know, gives any support that she intentionally murdered him and knew that he was dead.
Dr. Renee Stonebridge was also on the stand this week talking about the damage that was done to John O'Keefe. Let's take a listen.
Your findings were that the injuries were acute and that the injuries were the result of trauma, correct?
Yes.
What, if anything, can you say or can you opine as to the mechanism for those acute traumatic injuries?
It was something that required some type of force, given that there were skull fractures. I can't say what type of force or how much force, but it was definitely something that caused some type of force, which led to the skull fractures and then the subsequent brain findings.
And the brain findings in particular that you made, were those consistent with the fall?
They can be, yes.
Can they also be consistent with being struck by a vehicle and then going to the ground?
Yes, they can be.
They can be. Never once really, though, walking up to the plate and saying, this was a vehicle strike.
Right. Right.
So how is this going to play to a jury when even the experts are not flat out saying, yeah, looks like he got struck by a vehicle? They've had a very difficult time trying to get that narrative passed. And obviously defense has really not succeeded thus far in convincing anyone that he was beat up in the house either.
Yeah, my sense about it for a long time has been that we're never going to really know. And there's just too many vagaries, too many possibilities, too many what ifs. And that's not beyond a reasonable doubt.
Yeah, not at all. And that's the sad part of all this. At the end of the day, I don't think we are ever truly going to know. For the sake of all those who are still alive and involved and living in this community, I was thinking about this yesterday. What is the best outcome that could happen for everyone just to continue on with their lives and try to find some peace here? And my thought was simply, if she gets off, if it's a not guilty verdict, if she was found guilty, I think you're still going to have a lot of resentment and anger at the folks that don't necessarily need that, like yeah. The homeowners and such. Like, I understand having some anger at some of the officers because it does feel like there was some shadiness going on there.
Yeah.
But when it comes to all of this, just for the sake of all this, I'm thinking that's the only outcome that can truly bring some peace to everyone here. Not necessarily a conviction, but a not guilty, because I don't think we're going to know.
Yeah, that would probably be the closest thing we could come to justice here, and a real message to law enforcement officers to be impeccable in word and deed always, you know, knowing that they are there to serve the community, and we need to see them do a better job.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.